Hi, I'm Simon Sutherland, and welcome to Gospel Tangents.
We're continuing our discussion with Australian researcher Dr. Simon Sutherland. In this next episode, we're going to dig into the science a little bit deeper. What is the Cohen haplotype? How is that helpful for looking for Book of Mormon DNA in the Americas? We'll also talk about the Lemba tribe. Check out our conversation. Also, please remember to tell your friends, share with as many of your friends as you can, so that more people can learn more about Gospel Tangents. Now back to our conversation. All right, well, let's jump into the science again. Yeah. So, and I don't know how much of my interview with Dr. Perego that you are familiar with, but you know, it seems to be that one of the big results that he said is basically DNA will neither prove nor disprove the Book of Mormon, and it seems like he says that if Nephi came to the Americas, that they were such a small population that it would have died out within, you know, 5 or 6 generations. So what do you think of that argument?
Well, certainly not endorsed by any of the prophets. It's and I don't think it's consistent with the text of the Book of Mormon. If the DNA's died out or disappeared, then and 99.9% of their DNA is Asian or Native American, then they're Native American. The Book of Mormon makes fairly clear that the Jaredites and the Lehites were going to a land that God had prepared for them, a land kept from the knowledge of other nations, a quarter of the earth that man had never before been. When they arrived, they never met anyone. They didn't say, oh, we landed and we met these people around us. They just talked about their own populations that grew, and it tells us that they grew at very extraordinary rates. So what Hugo is arguing is that Lehi, and I've heard this from other apologists, they're arguing that Lehi arrived and his family very quickly took over the leadership of the native populations that were there to build their numbers. And they've used that argument to justify the rapid growth in the populations.
Yeah, I remember Hugo said that the numbers don't make sense just through birth, basically.
Yeah, well, in that case, he's arguing that the because they were known as the Lamanites and Nephites for 1,000 years, then the Lamanites and the Nephites must have been the ruling class of these. I mean, Mormons have already insulted Native Americans enough. To claim that Lehi's just come along and taken over the rule of these cultures is just so ridiculous. It gets even more ridiculous when you learn that the Nephites in 250 BC are walking through the wilderness and they encounter the Mulekites, who have a bigger population than them, and they have a city named Jerusalem, so they're very much a Hebrew culture. Now, if they're bigger than the Nephites, who are filled with Native Americans, they've got to be filled with Native. So the same thing's happened again. You've got the Mulekites, when they arrived, did they take over the Native populations and rule them and build their civilizations? I mean, Native Americans, they're just not these pushovers that you just walk in and take over their civilizations. It's just Hugo is making the conclusion that he has to because of the DNA. The DNA is forcing him to make these crazy conclusions about the vanishing Lehites. That's my view. The technology is getting much more powerful. Hugo's talking about mitochondrial DNA. That's pretty much the past, you know. It's now the whole genome DNA is being analyzed. And they've analyzed very closely the Mayan populations, both with their mitochondrial DNA and with their entire genome, to see where their DNA came from. 633 Mayans. And the Mayan civilization is where the limited geography and all the BYU scholars have focused their attention. 633 Mayan have been DNA tested, and 629 have an Asian DNA lineage. Another three have an African lineage, and then one has a European lineage. There's no Middle Eastern DNA. So Mesoamerica is the same all the way through Mesoamerica. Vast numbers have been tested. It's like about 2,500 now being DNA tested. So they just can't find any, there's just no Middle Eastern DNA. So that, to be such a vanishingly small proportion of the population, and then to rule everyone, and to do it in two civilizations, the Mulekites and the Lehites, give me a break. Sorry, it's not good enough. It's a very poor explanation, and it doesn't marry with the Book of Mormon, this sort of vanishing genetics. This doesn't fit.
I remember one of the things that we did talk to Dr. Perrigo about was, he said something about in the Book of Jacob that there are concubines, and he says typically concubines come, or you can think of them as sex slaves, but they're usually from another population. So he does say there are some hints that there were other people here, that the concubines would be an example in the Book of Jacob, that maybe some of the Nephites were taking some indigenous peoples and indigenous women. So you don't buy that argument?
There's absolutely no doubt there were Native Americans everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What's in question is, were there Lehites? So there were Native Americans everywhere, all the way through North, Central, and South America. Massive civilizations. So I don't need the Book of Mormon to convince me that there were other people there. There were other people there.
Okay.
Trouble is, the Book of Mormon tells us virtually nothing. It doesn't reveal anything about them. It's silent about the other people that were there. Yeah, he can read all those things into the concubines and stuff like that, but that's because he's trying to defend its truthfulness.
But isn't that the same way with the Bible? I mean, with the Bible, you know, it's the history of Israel. You don't learn very much about the Greeks, very little about the Romans, very little about even the Egyptians.
But they are mentioned in the Bible.
They are mentioned.
And they do exist. A lot of the cities in the Bible.
But if you read only the Bible, you would have an overinflated sense that Israel was much more powerful than.
Yeah, and the Jews did have an overinflated sense of how important they were in the world. But we don't want to go into that, down that track. But look, yeah, I'm aware of all of the apologetics where they're trying to, find little snippets of evidence that in the Book of Mormon there were other people there. There were other people there. They were everywhere. What's in question is, were the Book of Mormon people there? And I don't believe they were.
Okay.
I'm pretty convinced of that.
Okay, so another one of the claims was any time there's European, and he it sounded to me like he would say that Middle Eastern would be combined with European.
Yeah.
That we always assume that DNA came from after Columbus. But we don't know that it could have come before Columbus. Do you agree with that?
Well, there's a couple of mistakes he's making there. European DNA is not Middle Eastern DNA. Middle Eastern populations, and we know this from it's been confirmed by DNA as well, but from history, Middle Eastern populations and Western European populations have been largely separated for 15,000 years. Okay.
How do you distinguish between European and Middle Eastern?
The two different locations. So Spain, Portugal, England, Western European countries, and the Middle East being Palestine, the Arabian Peninsula, where the Jewish populations were. Those two areas of land, even though they're connected, the vast majority of people in those two regions have been separated for 15,000 years. There's been not an awful lot of gene flow between those populations. So you can go and look on, there are some studies that have been done where you can click on all these populations and see how much genetic relatedness they have with other populations throughout that area. And if you click on the Middle Eastern populations, it's a few surrounding populations, very, very few connections into Western Europe. And same in Western Europe, there's not a lot of connections into the Middle East. They do have very, very deep connections in the Middle East through to Western Asia, going back 50,000 years or 40,000 years. But within the last 15,000 years, they've been largely separated from each other. So when you when they say European DNA, in most cases, they're in pretty much all cases, they're finding it's Western European DNA.
Okay, so I know one of the Jews have the Cohen haplotype.
Cohen, that's a Cohen Y chromosome.
So that's on the Y chromosome. So is that that's a male lineage, is that right?
That's a male lineage, yes.
Okay, so, and I want to talk a lot
about
that.
Back to high school for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not a genetics expert by any stretch.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to, so I know, I don't know if we should go to the Lemba tribe then, because I want to talk about the Lemba tribe. I know that was in your book. That was actually something I remember I discovered before I read your book, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I know the Cohen haplotype is this genetic marker, as I understand it, and please tell me if I'm describing this wrong, but it's a genetic marker that seems to tie back to ancient Israel. And there's a group in Africa, a black African tribe, that has this link to this this Cohen haplotype. So I guess what, and I do want to talk about that, because I know you talk about that in your book, but what I want to say is that the only way you can tell somebody's from the Middle East is with that Cohen haplotype, or is there another marker to distinguish that from, say, Western Europe?
Well, it's the whole genome.
Okay.
And that's hundreds of thousands of markers on the whole genome that have been used to distinguish Middle Eastern populations.
So they don't have a nice little name like Cohen or
anything
like that?
It's all the Cohen is a particular Y chromosome, which was present in the Lemba tribe. Now, this is a tribe, they look African. They're in Zimbabwe, which is what is that? Is that its current? Yeah, it's, I think it's its current name. Anyway, so they're from, and they had a tradition. They had oral traditions that were Jewish, and they built very significant stone-walled cities, and. But most scholars rejected the fact that they were Jewish. It's not uncommon for native people in all around the world to claim that they've got Jewish ancestry. The same thing happened in the Polynesians. Love the fact that they're Jewish. Think they're Jewish because it ties them into the sort of Christian world, if you like. So anyway, it was rejected, and then they did the DNA work, and they found clearly that they've got Semitic Y chromosomes, in particular this Cohen haplotype, which seems to be very common amongst the males of the priestly class, the Jewish priestly class. So so it just confirmed conclusively that there was Jewish DNA that arrived down there. And it's their history is that from what I can recall, it was a shipwreck of a Jewish ship that was going down the African coast. And so their boat was shipwrecked, and they all got onto land, and they just migrated inland, and then they eventually merged with
a local tribe.
It was quite a long land migration. Tudor Parfitt is a scholar who's studied it. So I think he's tracked where the sort of places they were. But they ended up in this place called I think it's called Great Zimbabwe or New Zimbabwe, the settlement. It's a clear case of how DNA, even though it's a small, fairly small incursion of DNA, they've been able to track it. Yeah,
Would you expect to find something similar in the Americas if that were the case?
It may not be. I would expect to. I didn't expect to see every single Native American being a Jew, having Jewish DNA. I thought at least there had to be something. I don't know what that percentage is, but we're down now to nothing. 15,500 Native Americans have been tested, their DNA, their mitochondrial DNA tested, and it's all Asian or with a smattering of European or African. It's quite a lot of African DNA. But the whole genome is now being analysed. Most of the progress in the last 4 or 5 years that Hugo's not addressing is the whole genome studies. So, and this is the work that you can get done for yourself through Ancestry.com or
23andMe
and, you know, Family Tree DNA.
Mm-hmm. I need to get them to become a sponsor.
Well, they, yeah. I mean, they,
Hugo mentioned them too as well.
Yeah, well, they'll test 500,000 DNA markers that are scattered all across your chromosomes, because your whole genome is enormous. It's 3 billion letters of DNA compared to 16,000 on your mitochondria. Okay, the difference is, like comparing a book is your genome, the first word is your mitochondrial DNA. That's the difference in the size. So it's a massive amount of information, but the technology has advanced exponentially over the last 10 years. And so they can, so they have, you know, about 700,000 markers now that they can genotype very rapidly on an individual or whole population. And among those 700,000 markers are a whole bunch of markers that are unique to Native Americans. There's a whole bunch of markers that are unique to the Druze in Palestine and Palestinians and Jewish related populations and Spanish and English. And that's how these companies are able to sort of give a map of where your DNA came from. And so scientists have used that technology to examine the DNA of several Native American populations, including the Maya, where the BYU scholars love. And their DNA all goes to either their links tie them to native populations nearby, to African populations, and to places like England, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Sardinia, in some cases Greece, but just no ties at all to the Middle East. So it's entirely consistent with the mitochondrial work. It's exactly what you'd expect.
Okay.
So it's you know, the getting back to this European admixture thing, you know, don't kid, you know, it's misleading to say that, oh, we don't know whether they're pre-Columbian or post-Columbian. The scientists, whenever they've looked to see where the mitochondrial DNA came from, they can say, yes, it's a Spanish H lineage or T lineage. Okay, and so it's pretty clear.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Simon Southerton. We're not done with him just yet. In our next conversation, we'll talk about Rodney Meldrum's claims to have found DNA among Native Americans here in North America. What does Simon think about this?
He doesn't understand the science. He thinks that the scientists foolishly overlooked the connection of the X lineage to the Middle East, and his whole business is built on his X lineage claim, and he's wrong.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.